Hello, and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast with your hosts, Garth Nelson and...
Jen Barr.
How have you been this week, Jen?
Good.
Are you concerned about the extra buzzing that we have, or is that...
I'm okay.
Okay.
I don't really care.
Volume on our mics, perhaps.
Well, I don't know what to do about it, so... Unfortunately, it's just going to have to stay like
yes.
that.
Yes, we have a substitution for our normal producer. We have Issei with us this time around. Hey, Issei.
Hello.
He was really helpful when I said, how do we turn on the screen? He's like, I don't know anything about it.
It reminds me of the guy at the restaurant we went to last night after Sparta.
Oh, you did?
We did all go to a restaurant. Even though Moriyama did not go with us, he said, hey, everybody should go out to a restaurant. I'll give you some money. And so we did all go out to a restaurant. And and the money he gave us almost covered it. And then Setukuma and Mayahara were like, well, we won at some event somewhere, so we'll pay for the rest of it. I'm like, all right, way to hang out with the guys who win. That is a good strategy for eating. But what was funny was one of the dishes they ordered was like it was like some sort of steamed or something oyster, and then Masuda was not quite really sure exactly how to eat it. Like, it was in a little bed of salt still in the shell, and so he was kind of like, well, do I put something on it? Do I eat it with salt? Do I put shoyu on it? Soy sauce? So then he turns to like the guy who's one of the waiters. He's like, hey, how do I eat this? And the guy's like, just like that. Like in Japanese, sonomama taberibai. Like Masuda was really interrupting him. But it was just funny because, I don't know, Japanese, it sounds like it was so really like, you know, you idiot, just like that, just eat it like that. And then actually he did eat it just like that, and it tasted terrible apparently. But yes, that pretty much that is about all that has happened in the world of Mahjong this week.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty quiet, it's, I don't know, it's the end of summer, there's just not a lot going on.
Yeah, I played Mahjong one whole time this week.
One whole
And that was last night.
Last night at Sparta. Did you learn anything at Sparta last night?
I learned that Taki is just as good as I thought he was.
That guy is amazing, isn't he?
Playing with Taki and Kojima, and that girl whose name I don't know.
The new girl?
Yeah.
Her name is Shirakawa.
Oh, Shirakawa. And
I have sort of a prejudice in finding out girls' names. That other girl, I have no idea what her name is, but Shirakawa, she's kind of cute.
Nadi.
Nani?
Nadi.
Oh, they did keep saying something like that, which I thought was like, can that really be somebody's name?
She's in Mahjong Fight Club.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess the new girl might be too, who knows.
Nari?
She's probably in the next one. It's, you write South and then B.
Uh-huh.
But you pronounce it Nadi.
That's her first name or
last
her
name?
That's her family name.
Yeah.
Wow. How interesting. Oh, wow, that's that name. Wow, I've seen that name a lot and I've always wondered how to pronounce that. D. Wow, so I would have always pronounced that Minami Sato.
Yeah. You'd be wrong. So,
wow,
I was playing with them.
Uh-huh.
And I somehow, like, won Mangan off of Taki. Totally getting lucky. Because I was going for an outside hand, and
uh-huh.
I had, like, I was a south seat, and I had a south concealed, like, three souths concealed in my hand, and then Taki reaches, and the only tiles that I have, like, that aren't part of my hand are the one of Bams and the nine of Bams. So I was waiting for one of them to
make a
to get something to go with it, right? All the rest of my hand is finished, so I end up pulling like a six of dots, and I have 7, 8, 9 of dots. But I've already discarded a five and a six of dots.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, oh, this isn't good, but oh, well, I'll just discard the one of Bams because I can still go for a three colored run with a nine if that
uh-huh.
comes and the one is safe, and so I just did that. The next thing I pull is another five of dots, the one I had just discarded.
Oh.
So, okay, reach with the nine of Bams. Very next discard was Taki with the seven of dots, which was also Dora. So,
ouch.
8,000 points there. So I was feeling kind of good. Okay, this game's going good for me until the very last hand. That 29.9 or something.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just needed one win to get positive.
Yes. Or even just tenpai.
Yeah.
Finishing the hand ready.
So I was ready. I was waiting for 6, 9 of Bams. I don't think there were any out. And then all of a sudden I discard the Seven of Cracks and Taki goes, Ron, 12,000 points. Put me way down in last place for that.
Ouch.
And all the sixes and nines were left in the deck.
Wow.
Yeah. There were only...
Was it still really early in the hand? Or?
No, it was late, and there was only, like, at least half of the remaining draws were sixes and nines of bands. Like, one more rotation, and I would
and
have
would
won
have
the hand. Yeah.
Off of just about anybody.
Yeah.
Wow. That's bad luck.
Yeah, because the BAMs looked pretty... They were pretty much getting discarded, so... Uh-huh. I don't think anyone would have stopped the 6-9 of BAMs. And so Taki had, like, the Dorda was the Red Dragon. He had three of those in his hand. He had pawned the South Wind, and it was also, obviously, the South Round.
Uh-huh.
And he had a half flush.
Oh.
So that hurt really
that
bad.
That is a bunch of points.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I think if it were someone else, it would have been a lot more obvious they had a half flush in their hand. Because he had some cracks in his discards. And so I was thinking, like, when I'm playing there, I'm usually thinking of how I would play in League.
Mm.
And I think the opponents in League would not be playing at the same level as Taki, so...
Mm.
Which would explain why I do better in League as well than Sparta, probably.
Yeah, that brings up an interesting point. I was going to talk about this more in our strategy section, but since you've kind of touched on it already...
Oh, segue.
Yes, nice segue. And not the little machines that you ride on. How do you change your play for different levels of players? Or do you, is it some? First of all, is it something that you consciously do? Because obviously, when we're playing at Sparta, it's a different level of player than when we just go to League.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's exactly like okay. If they're this level, I play like this. If they're this level, I play like this. I play according to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I'm playing against Taki and Kojima, I'm going to reach a lot more than against some other players. Like
so
you probably, even.
Mm-hmm.
Because they fold really quickly when someone reaches.
Really?
Like, Taki folds really quickly a lot.
He does, yes. Maehara was making that point last night with regard to the way Masuda played a hand. Somebody reached and Masuda played conservatively, which actually... Because of the way he played conservatively, it started creating a wall, which made me think perhaps... So he threw another three of dots, which was in the Reacher's discards. It started creating a wall, and I started having a hand that I wanted to go through, so I threw the two of dots because, oh, all right, that's the safest thing I have to throw. It turned out to be that girl's winner. But it was an extremely cheap hand. I think it was just reach.
Mm.
And when we opened up our hands, it turned out that Masuda threw the three from a 3-4-5 in his hand.
I think I came in for
I think you came in maybe just the hand before that. So that was maybe the first hand, full hand that you saw. And Maehara went off big discussion about how perhaps if Taki were to have played that way, he could understand. But Masuda playing that way is a total mistake for Masuda because he is simply not that kind of player.
Right.
And they made a whole big deal about the fact that he had just won the hand before. I think, I can't remember if he had won 3,900 points on the hand before or if it was just 2,600 per player. But he had won a big hand before on his turn as dealer. Actually, he had two continuations as dealer. My hardest point was that, you know, you are the one in control right now. You need to be going for it, even though, especially with your style of play, even though this other person has reached, you know. He would have been maybe, I don't think he would have been one away from ready. I think he still would have been two away from ready, even if he hadn't broken up that run.
Yeah.
But,
he wasn't ready at all.
Right. But my hardest point was that he, as the kind of player that he is, he should be going for it there. And this whole idea of like changing your style of play based on who you're playing against obviously is very basic, but man, I have a hard time changing those gears.
No, I don't think it's basic. I mean, you have to know the other player really well in order to do that. So the idea might be basic or elementary, but actually implementing it is not basic at all. Because you have to be able to read the other player. If you can't read the other player, or if you're reading them incorrectly, then it's not going to work at all.
Indeed. And so this is something that I've been having problems with this month in Fight Club. Man, I cannot win games for crap. It's unbelievable. I won 3 out of 15 games yesterday. So, you know, 20%. And out of the last 30, I've only won 4. I had minus club score of like 300,000. Because, like, every time I lost, I kept, like, losing. I kept Tobu. Like, what do we say for Tobu in
busting
English?
Busting out?
Busting, yeah, I kept busting out. Like, I busted out 3 games in a row. And one of the games, I only had 2,000 points left, and I threw Hanemon, 12,000 points, to another guy, and Oya Baimon to another person. So I was
on
minus...
On the same discard?
On the same discard, yeah. I reached, and then my Ippatsu draw was the red 5 of BAMs, and it was the Oya's, the dealer's Honitsu, half flush, and plus, you know, and plus some other stuff. And then the other guy had, like, all triples and one Yaku thing. And
one value tile?
Yeah, one value tile. And maybe also he had 3 Dora, because his was 12,000 points. So it was just like, whoa! So I was minus 30,000 points, like, under zero, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to minus 300,000 points pretty quickly. And the thing is, you know, when people are opening up their hands there, like, I'm looking at the things that they're doing it with, and it's not good play that I'm losing to, and yet I can't beat it. I don't know what to do to change my playing style to beat players that are, you know, not to chide people for playing at a lower level, but the thing is, it's a lower league. So obviously they must not be playing at the same level as the people in the league last month, where I was number one for the pros last month. And I was playing, I think, in double A, you know. So not even the first A, but like double A. So, and like, I beat the crap out of everybody last month, and now this month I can't win a game. And I'm having a hard time looking at my games and deciding whether... Maybe I'm just getting really unlucky, but I don't... Boy, I've been getting really unlucky for a long time. when you look at your play, like, how long do you have to... Do you have, like, a standard for, like, how long you have to lose before you start saying, maybe something's wrong here?
About 3 games.
I hit that in one streak.
I don't know. I usually lose a lot more than you on Fight Club, so I'm just kind of used to it now.
Oh.
I don't think about it very much.
Huh. Can I ask what your winning percentage is, or do you...
It's 25.5 or something.
Well, so at least it's above average.
Yeah. It was 26 point something a few months ago.
Oh, wow, so you've had a rough couple of months. What league are you in right now, do you know?
I don't remember.
And then also, just to top it off, yeah, so last night at Sparta, I took 2 third places, I think. And at Sentenbo too, I think I won 2 out of 10 games.
Yeah, see, for me that's something that's standard, and like I could go at Sentenbo, I could be there and not win a single game all night, and that's pretty normal for me. And you win 2 games, and so I mean, I'm basically listening to you be like, "Oh, my gold shoes are too tight. Oh, my wallet doesn't fit all these hundreds."
Really? I'm being a jerk?
Huh. No, you're not being a jerk. I think you just got to take some of your losses.
Yes.
Not all your losses mean that you suck.
I do have a hard time losing. And that was something that was also impressive last night, watching Taki. It was in a game he had lost... he hadn't lost yet. He was down to, I think, 17,000 points. And, of course, in those games, we're starting with 30,000, so he's down quite a bit. And he's still just playing seriously like he does. And like, at a certain point in the hand, when it looks like maybe somebody else is doing well, he gives up. And it's not like he feels pressure to still try to win the game just because he doesn't have any points. He's still playing, you know, optimally. Mm-hmm. Which don't know, in my recent reading about game theory, it's obviously the way you should always just play optimally. Why would you play stupidly ever? But I don't know. Sometimes I just get into that mood where it's like, God, everybody else is just playing, you know, goofy, and they win. Why should I really play seriously when you can just play goofy and win? And I guess, you know, in the end, obviously that is not a winning strategy to play goofy.
Yeah, it's really a kind of immature approach.
Yes, I am 40-year-old baby.
I'm sorry.
I know, yes, and I do the same thing in poker.
That guy's stealing candy from the store. How come I can't steal candy from the store?
I know. I don't even, and sometimes I don't even want that candy, but still. Why should he get away with it and not me?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of strategy, and I'm still really not sure how to adjust my play, or even if my play really needs adjusting at the moment. Maybe perhaps I'm just going through a streak. And these streaks is another thing that really amazes me. Like, you know, the last month and the month before that, I had great months at Sentenbo. Despite the fact that, I think I told you, in the middle of it, I was like, God, I keep losing games here and there. And then I looked at it afterwards, like, holy cow, I'm winning 40% of my games in the last 2 months.
It feels like it was just like 2 podcasts ago, and already you're like, God, I can't win.
Well, we did have a little bit of time off during Macau trips, so that may be why that feels like only 2 podcasts ago. But, and in the middle of that, actually, I guess since I didn't feel like I was winning so much, I couldn't really put my finger on any one thing that I must have been doing right. And now, just in the opposite sense, I can't put my finger on anything I'm doing wrong. And so, like, maybe like you say, it's just one of the streaks that comes from playing a lot of games.
Yeah. And you can't even look at, like, your results over 1 month. You really have to look at it over, like, the year, and maybe even longer.
And, my winning percentage on Fight Club is still... It dropped down 0.01% to 29.4, which is annoying.
Yes, it's so annoying.
I'd worked so hard against...
I hate it if my winning percentage was 29.4.
I worked so hard last month to get it back up to 29.5.
So why don't you work hard again? Why do you think you worked hard to do it? Maybe you just got lucky to do it.
I know, it's true, maybe. And now the luck, the over-luck that I had last month is coming back to haunt me this month. And I can't beat anybody. Man, it's just killing me. All right, so yes, our strategy talk is still, my strategy's up in the air. How to change my play. a story that I saw on Mahjong News of interest is that the Austrian team has decided, or somebody from Austria has decided that they want to run the 2012 European Reach Championships. And part of their proposal is that they want to make it an all-European tournament.
Wow. What is the criteria for that? It means you have to live in Europe, or you have to actually have a European passport?
Actually, I believe it will be, yes, you must live in a European Union country. Plus, they were going to allow one, a Japanese team. Because, I guess, Reach originated in Japan. That was sort of the way it was written up in the article. And then somebody had posted in the comments. There were several comments posted afterwards, and not many of them very supportive of the exclusionary...
Did they write the reasoning at all?
They didn't really give a lot of reasoning, just that they wanted to make it a truly European event that would maybe be more enjoyable that way for the European players. It was definitely interesting that they got no support, pretty much, from the comments. The comments were pretty much, you know, one of the things I always liked about the Open European Championships was the O in Open, right? in the OEMC. That's what they like about them. And other players, too, said, you know, we include people from other countries because they bring up the level of the tournament. And obviously it would be more enjoyable for the European players to have a high-level tournament than to not have a high-level tournament.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think one of the good points in favor of having Only Europeans. Although I don't think that would be fair to allow a Japanese team then, unless it was Japanese people living in Europe.
Right, that was another point.
But a good point for that would be that there is very limited spacing in the tournament.
Right.
So there are a lot of Europeans that can't even play, even though it's the Open European.
Right.
That's not very open either.
But, you know, if I guess it depends on what you mean by the word open. You know, certainly the U.S. Open doesn't mean that any U.S. golf player can play in the U.S. Open. There are qualifying rounds, and that's
sure.
what they do for the European Reach Championships.
Sure.
And true, there are fewer players coming from Japan, so it's a lot easier for anybody who wants to come from Japan to get in if they basically just say, I want to go. And same for us being from America. One of the things, of course, I always love recognition, and we did get full mention in that article as being players who would be excluded from the tournament if they did, in fact, run it that way.
Thanks, guys.
Illustrious. We are illustrious.
Well, actually, this time, one of the reasons why we would have been able to play if we were able to make it was that although the t-shirts were late, we were sponsors of the tournament, and we did provide t-shirts, which whoever played should be getting their t-shirts soon if they have not already, because Gemma has them in the UK or Germany or wherever she is. So, yeah, we were, in a way, sponsors, although with the manufacturer there was
a little issue with sending timing.
No, the order went in, but the manufacturer had made a mistake, and
uh-oh.
So they ended up coming a couple days late.
Oh, what a pisser.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think... oh, and then, actually, the final comment was kind of interesting. Somebody said Mahjong Austria, or Team Austria, Mahjong Team Austria, said it, and then that's the way they signed it, and they said, we know nothing about this proposal. So I'm not sure which Austrian member has actually proposed this. Although, I felt that, at least at the top of the article, there was a picture of, I think, probably, I assume there are four Austrian players. Paul was in that group.
Mm.
So I'm thinking perhaps he would have been one of the players who was suggesting doing it that way.
I doubt it, because Paul created the club Kasu,
uh-huh.
which is a Japanese game club, basically.
Uh-huh.
It's not just Mahjong, they play Hanafuda and some other games as well. But when he came to Japan...
Uh-huh.
He actually resigned his position because he came here to study. He was here for 1 year, and I think he's coming back soon, actually.
So, okay. Actually, now that you mentioned that. So now the Vienna Club Kasu has submitted a request to the European Mahjong Association. So this is the association that he started, or the club that he started.
Right. But that doesn't mean
that
at all
he's
the one writing it, because as far as I know, he's not doing administrative duties in the club. I mean, maybe he resumed some when he went back to Austria, but
uh-huh.
I haven't heard anything about that.
That is him in the picture there, right?
Yeah, that is him, but
okay.
that's just a picture of people from Kasu.
Right.
I think that's
okay.
the last European event, isn't it? The one
it does say yes, in 2008.
Yeah, that's the one we went to. So
okay, so it's not a proposal that he is proposing. But then, yes, at the very bottom of the comments, Mahjong Austria does not know about this tournament. And that was posted by Martin Scheichenbauer.
And that's interesting. I guess as long as it's listed that Kasu is the one doing it, then...
Martin is the director of the Austrian Mahjong Association. Which I guess is obviously different from Kasu. So whoever is in Kasu has made this proposal that they would allow only European players plus one Japanese team. And like you say, I guess if the idea is to make a tournament that allows more Europeans to play, then that makes sense. But then, you know... And they were talking about this leaves the idea open of having, like, a World Cup of Mahjong. But then that's almost kind of what they're sort of having with the European Open Championships at the moment.
If it's just going to be European countries and a Japanese team, then it's really an invitational. It's not an open.
Yes. Exactly. You have to change the wording there.
So I think it would be really unfortunate if they would allow a Japanese team but not allow a U.S. team with all the work that the U.S. PML is doing.
Absolutely, yeah. And certainly, I would think, like some of the commenters pointed out, you want to have a high-level tournament, and that means inviting players of the highest levels from everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's also really big in spreading the game, because if there's a big tournament that people from all over the world can go to, then It gives them something to work for.
Yeah, and at the moment, I think that is pretty much the biggest Reach tournament in the entire world.
Yeah.
And what a pity if people are going to be excluded from that. Yeah. Like they say, illustrious names such as Jen Barr and Garth Nelson, Americans who live in Japan, and Ma Yong Liang, who is a Chinese Reach player.
Yeah, he played with us in 2008 as well.
And David Bresnik, who took third at the last European Reach Championships. Third place, and that guy is going to be excluded. You're going to exclude him from your tournament? And I guess, obviously, Ben, who took second or third place 2 years ago? 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
He would be excluded, too. So, you're choosing to exclude a fairly select group of players, players that I would think you would actually want in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, the logistics and everything are tough, because there's a lot of people, and when they're coming from different countries, and with all of the... Because the thing is, in Mahjong, you need 4 players. So if a couple people don't show up, you have problems, and...
I can imagine that does make a bit of a headache for the organizers, and I'm sure there are last-minute cancellations, and then...
Yeah,
then
me this year.
Right, and me, yes. And so then that creates a headache for them, and then players that could have come from other European countries say, oh, see, wouldn't it? How lame is that? Like, I could have played anyway, but you had those guys, gave those guys spots.
Yeah.
All right, so I can see a point there for the organizers. But still, I think in the end, the level of the tournament that you're going to get from having from players from a wider area is going to offset the headaches of trying to reorganize the tournament. And,
yeah,
you know,
and I really want to go. I mean, if I had the capacity to go this year, I definitely would have been there. I
Me
was really
too.
Disappointed not to go, so...
I was stuck in Special League, and you were stuck in the other league?
I was in Macau.
Right. Oh, okay, for work, that's right.
Yeah, a job I could not get out of.
So, yes, we are hoping. Here's to hoping that we will still be able to participate in the European Reach Championships next time we have a chance. Next time there is one.
Yes.
All right, that about wraps up my topics for today. And as with last week, pretty much nothing going on in the world of Mahjong this week, yes? It's another quiet week coming up. Oh,
Women's
did you say
League.
Women's League is coming up, that's right.
A Women's League tomorrow that I will be going to.
Very nice. You said you are in a position to move up to the A League if you do well?
It's possible.
Uh-huh.
This is one of the first years I haven't missed a league session yet, so all the other years until now I've missed at least one women's league session. So
How many more sessions are there?
I think there's 3 more, including tomorrow.
Okay. How many have there been so far? 3?
2.
2, okay. So
I'm
just
like plus 15 right now, so only 5 move up.
5.
Yeah.
All right, but so you're within shouting distance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck tomorrow. Be nice.
Thank you very much. And then the next day I have a guest job in Tochigi for the first time in months.
Very nice.
Yeah.
What kind of mahjong is it there? Is it tone? Is it just east-only rounds or east and south rounds?
No, it's east-south, but I think it's a tournament. It's that Kaori and I are going to. So it's like they have a tournament at their mahjong parlor, so we go play in the tournament and then... And then play for fun a little bit and go eat with them.
That does sound like fun.
Yeah.
Good times, good times.
Good times.
Alrighty then. Once again, if you'd like to get in touch with us, as always, I am Garth, EGARTHE, at reachmahjong.com, and your address is?
Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com.
And I promise, if you send something, I will actually check my mail this week.
Maybe you could check the forums, too.
Oh, yes. I did that once, and then I never did it again. So I will do that, too. Hope to see some of you guys on the forums or hear from you via email. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.
don't take.